Welcome to the Open to Truth podcast. My name's Clinton.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Tony.
Hey, today I'm kind of curious about communion.
Eating flesh and blood.
Wait, why'd you call it that?
Isn't that the name of the episode? Isn't that what we're calling it?
Yes.
So they will have already clicked on it because it said that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Gotcha. So that's why it's called that. We're talking about communion.
But why would you use the words flesh and blood when you're talking?
Oh, great.
I don't think
You've never eaten flesh and blood? You've drank your own blood before, right?
Oh my gosh. I don't think so.
You haven't never just sucked
on
a wound?
What are you talking about? Well, yeah.
You've tasted your own blood.
I've not poured it into a vessel.
No, okay.
To have for later.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah.
Sorry. Neither have I, just in case I made it sound that way. Anyways.
And I probably have eaten flesh.
Just like little...
bits of nail.
Yeah, nail. What do they call it? Tag nuts or not that?
What's that?
No, that's a dag as a tag.
A dingleberry?
Yeah, dingleberry. I meant a hangnail. Hangnail. Little bits of...
You wouldn't want to eat a tag
the
nut.
Inside of my gums. I've eaten those, I guess.
Oh, what?
You've never just chewed the inside of your lip?
Not where I get sustenance from it.
No, not sustenance. I mean, it's not like I ate it for a meal. I just mean some snow.
But no, I didn't... Did pieces get shaved off?
Yeah, like anxious nibbling on the inside of your lips.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Maybe I'm the only one who does that. All right, so far I'm looking real weird on this episode. We call it flesh and blood, eating flesh and blood, because that's what the elements are supposed to represent, unless you're Catholic and you believe in transubstantiation.
What's communion? Wait, just let's back up. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Communion.
Yeah.
Is it a ritual? Would you
yeah.
say?
Yeah. Well, let's just imagine a you've practice. Never heard of it. Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Okay. So, you know, Joe Blow's never been to church. What is communion? Yeah, at some point, some churches do this every week, some do it every 6 weeks or whenever it fits. And there is everybody in the church, well, it depends on the church. Basically, everyone will drink some juice and eat some bread.
Right.
At some point that happens. That's kind of a common theme, and it's meant to replicate or nod to the Last Supper when Jesus did this with his disciples. He broke bread, he handed him some wine.
Gotcha.
He said, "This is my blood in the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me."
Can I read it just
yes, please.
For the fun of it?
Yeah, please.
This is in the Gospel according to Mark 14:22 through 25.
Let's hear it.
While they were eating, he, Jesus, took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Let's just table that last part, a little bit cryptic.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
But yeah, they're breaking bread. They ate bread. They drank some wine. He called it his flesh and blood. Respectively.
Yeah.
Okay.
And said, "Do this in remembrance of me."
He says this in Matthew and Luke. And then Paul in 1 Corinthians refers back to that. Paul attributes to Jesus an extra little bit that is often said in church.
Is this as often as you eat and drink?
He broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Wow. So that is only found in Corinthians.
That's right.
That's Paul.
There's some extra. So he's saying Jesus
he's
said this.
Quoting
he's,
Jesus.
Right.
But we don't find that quote in the Gospels.
We do not.
Interesting. Yeah. So... what this has turned into over 2,000 years is now churches all across the world on a somewhat regular basis, as some part of their liturgy, that is their order of service, they will engage in this ritual or tradition that is typically called the Lord's Supper or Communion or the Eucharist, where communally as a congregation, we will each drink some juice and eat some bread. And... other than the actual eating and drinking, what in your mind is supposed to be going on mentally during communion?
Well, this was not taught at my home church growing up.
Okay.
But I definitely like had somewhere along the line picked up this notion that I have to like be really careful when I take communion that I don't have unconfessed sin.
Oh yeah.
I'm not quite sure where that came from, but
where is that? I looked up that verse recently.
Oh, that's...
It's something Paul writes. He doesn't say something unconfessed sin, but it's to do with taking communion in an unworthy manner. And he says, he's talking, I think, specifically about like the love feasts and agape feasts.
Are you talking about in Jude? Is it in Jude?
I didn't think it was Jude, because I think he says, because some of you are getting drunk and other people are going hungry, you're taking it in an unworthy manner, and it's for this reason some of you are sick and even some of you have fallen asleep. He like seems to attribute sickness and death as being a result of taking communion in quote unquote an unworthy manner, whatever that means. Which, yeah, like you, I kind of, when I was young, thought that meant if you do it flippantly, or you're not very solemn and serious about it, or if you've got, yeah,
I think it is in Corinthians. It's Paul.
Maybe.
Yeah, rebuking the Corinthians for doing it unworthily.
That sounds right to me.
Okay.
Then you might get struck dead.
Correct like us if we're wrong. But.
Drink the juice and immediately drop dead, like Ananias or Sapphira.
Whoa. Yeah, I don't know if it was that severe, but it was...
What was your consequence? What did you think would happen if you had
just
sin?
Like just extreme, frown extreme displeasure from the Lord.
Just a frown.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So, but... I don't quite think that anymore.
Right.
So
what were you supposed to be doing mentally? That was my question. What's supposed to be going on in the soul during communion?
Well, I do think that since I'm supposed to be remembering Christ's death and what he did for me, then part of that is like thinking about past sin.
Right.
And thankfulness that God poured out his grace and love upon humanity.
Yeah.
And I would like to walk more fully in the love project.
Yep.
And so it's just a time of reflection. I mean, how I go about penitence and confessing sin now is a lot different from what it used to be for me.
Yeah.
It used to be an enormous guilt trip.
Yep.
And it doesn't feel that way as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of a recognition before God that I'm fallen. Here's how I want to improve along with the Holy Spirit and stuff. So that's how I practice communion now when we are doing that at church.
It's like a self-examination.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And a
remembrance.
That and celebration. A Thanksgiving.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I know.
Other times I... don't care. I'm just going through the motions and I'm disrespecting it and I'm thinking about playing Fortnite or something.
Unworthy manner.
Yeah.
That's an unworthy manner.
I lose track of it.
It was never clear to me what mental activity was supposed to be different when I'm drinking the juice versus eating the bread.
Right. That's good.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, because I do remember, and obviously not enough for it to have stuck with me, but I remember hearing people talking about that. Like when you drink the juice, think of, and when you eat the bread, think of this. So something like his sin, like the blood washing sin away, making you clean, like being cleansed by this liquid.
I'm remembering a little bit of that, like in between the bread and juice phase, there's some discomfort because I'm like, the sin is on the table here.
Yeah. And I wash it away.
Okay.
Wash it away. Yeah. Something like that was going on in my mind.
I don't know how much any of that is even like. Tradition, like even from tradition or script, that is all the machinations of some mind that I encountered so far.
It's just
like, I don't know,
bits and pieces I've picked up here and there.
Right.
So I don't know if you want to swerve into this now, but to me, a really interesting question is, what was Jesus attempting to institute this kind of a ritual at the supper? So just to set the scene, this is the night he was betrayed. So this is the night before the whole crucifixion deal goes down. He's got together with his disciples and they're having dinner together.
Mm-hmm.
They're having dinner. He also washes their feet at this dinner. At some point they break bread and drink wine. And he has this little speech about, this is my blood of the new covenant in my blood, maybe is what he says.
Yeah.
do this in remembrance of me. And I remember just wondering when I read that passage, you know, is it possible that what he was trying to say was, as often as you eat and drink, remember me. When you eat and drink, mm-hmm. remember me and what I've done. And that, like, I remember connecting the dots there and thinking, well, isn't that just kind of why we say grace before a meal? Like, we all, as Christians, most of us, bless a meal, whatever that means, or pray before we eat. And I remember thinking, isn't that basically what Jesus is telling me to do? As often as I eat and drink, remember him and acknowledge him and mm-hmm. thank him that I'm in some position where I can do that. Just thinking through what was going on at this supper, they were celebrating Passover, right? I'm trying to put myself in a first century Jew's mind.
Yeah.
They're at the Passover.
I'm pretty ill-equipped to know all the nuances probably going on here with Passover.
Yeah.
And it,
I think they did stuff like wrapping a piece of bread and in cloth and hiding it for 3 days and then pulling it back out and stuff. They had all kinds of, like, there's some symbolism and, you know, overtones going on. But definitely to a first century Jew, when you mentioned covenant, their mind is going back to the first covenant with that the Lord made with Israel, the nation. So them coming up out of Egypt, having what the celebration of the Passover is, the lamb's blood on the door
the
frames.
Angel of the Lord passed over the houses.
Passed over the houses. So all of this, God liberated us from slavery and from oppression. All of that imagery is coming to mind during the Passover. That's what they're thinking about. And suddenly Jesus says...
So they're having their Passover meal.
Yeah. They're celebrating that together.
As good Jews.
And he says, new covenant in my blood. Which would be pretty startling, I would think, for a Jew to hear that. That what do you mean, new covenant?
Yes.
There is one covenant that God has made with us. And you're saying there's a new one coming in your blood. I don't know. That would have been pretty wild. I think some of the significance of that is lost on us today. Certainly when I take communion, I'm not thinking about the old covenant and how the new one relates to it.
No.
But they would have at this meal. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, after that evening, when was the next communion celebrated? You know?
Yeah.
Like, is this something that cropped up hundreds of years later, or...
Or just when they ate. Church,
like the next meal that they ate together? Jesus is dead. They all get breakfast the next morning. Does that count? Are they remembering him? And I don't know. I don't. Or is it every Passover, do this in remembrance of me?
I don't know if I have an answer, or we're going to give one in the podcast, but...
That's a question I have. I'd like to know that.
I don't know if it is knowable. How would you even be...
The data's lost to time.
How would you know that?
Yeah, no. I guess, well, I'd be curious to know when communion started cropping up in liturgy.
Well, it's like, just time out. I'm getting a little bit confused. What are we asking for? What does Jesus want from me?
Oh,
with communion?
That was the original question I asked, yeah.
Okay.
Was he trying to instantiate a ritual?
Is he mad if I don't do it every week?
No. I mean, I don't think he is, but...
Okay.
He could have been a lot more clear, don't you think, if that's what he was trying to say?
If this was super important.
Like, guys, every week now, I want you to get some juice, get some bread.
Well, that's what, I mean, actually, that's what leads me to think that it is just a signifier for a meal.
Mm. Why, like, what is?
When you eat and drink, remember me.
What makes you think it's that? The fact that he wasn't specific about do it on the third of every month and...
Yeah,
there was no time frame given to it.
Right. And they're at a meal. It's not like he just busted this out randomly.
Yeah.
They're off in a field somewhere and he brought out his double cup communion thing.
Right.
They're at a meal together, love feast, Passover thing.
So how important are those specific elements? Juice, bread, or wine?
This is interesting, man.
Wine
so
and bread.
I'm pretty uncommitted to having it only ever be bread and wine.
Well, already in most churches, it's not wine.
It's grape juice.
Catholic churches, it'll be wine, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But most Protestant churches, it's going to be Welch's, your classic Welch's.
But this is what they ate at their meal. They ate bread and wine. So that's what he used.
Right.
So I kind of like, I'm even toying with the idea of like, oh, it'd be kind of cool for like a men's event or something.
Yeah.
We can do a time of communion with beer and pretzels.
Oh, man.
Now, that sounds irreverent, And I realize that for our Catholic listeners. But why is that so different? That's what we eat now.
Because
that's what this is. 12 dudes around a table, right? Is it just the 12, or are there more of the Passover meal?
Judas might have bailed by then.
I think he was there, right? Yeah. But
well, okay. So we keep mentioning Catholics, but that's because they hold to transubstantiation, which is a pretty, pretty significant twist on this whole communion.
Right. So they're going pretty literally here. This is my body. So like, apparently, like you just said, transubstantiation. What they're saying is, and this kind of got hashed out a little bit in the Middle Ages, they made a distinction between accidental and essential properties.
Wow.
Okay. Your identity is wrapped up in your essential properties. You cease being the type of thing that you are when you lose your essential properties.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But your accidental properties are things that you can maintain your identity while shifting in and out of having those properties. So your hair length, your eye color, even.
I'm still Tony.
Yeah, you're still Tony.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is when the priest blesses the elements, there's a miracle taking place where the essential properties or the substance of the item that you're blessing, like the bread or the wine, is removed, and the essence of Christ's body and blood are put in there while maintaining the accidental properties on the surface.
So it still tastes like juice.
Still tastes like juice and looks like bread, but it is the body and blood of Christ.
I'd be curious to know, can they bless other elements? Could they bless beer and pretzels and transubstantiate it? Transmute it? Or is it only wine and crackers?
I'm not sure. It starts to get a little bit mystical fantastical at that point.
I mean,
so how we at our church practice this, and most Protestants, this is a symbol.
Mm-hmm.
There's not an actual substance transfer. This isn't actually eating flesh and blood.
It's a way that we remember.
Yeah.
And remind ourselves. I remember I preached on this one time on communion, and a useful analogy I thought was in Australia on Anzac Day, which is our Australian New Zealand Army Corps, kind of like our Memorial Day, where we honor those who have lost their lives in the military. There's a poem that's typically read and frequently in a minute of silence that's observed, and we'll say, "Lest we forget," at the end of this poem. And the idea is that, you know, the whole reason that we have set up this annual holiday and this minute of silence and this poem is so that it's a discipline so that we won't forget the sacrifice that has been made on our behalf. And I think something pretty similar is going, it's almost like a toast, like when you raise your glass to honor the memory of somebody or the sacrifice of somebody. Like I can imagine, you know, some heroic firefighter goes into a building, rescues a family, but is killed in the process. And at his funeral, we all raise a glass and toast his courage and heroism. And I think something similar.
Lest we forget.
Right.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I like the word lest.
Yeah. It's a good one. Yeah. I think communion can be viewed a similar way, where this is a ritual that we engage in, not because it somehow unites us with God or earns us favor with him, but it's a discipline so that we as a community don't forget just the incredible sacrifice that Jesus made. So
do we have an answer on like the beer and pretzels, or what if we did Oreos and milk?
Oreos and milk.
Does it start to get too irreverent?
Cake and champagne.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I personally don't have any problem with it. I think it's I think it's awesome. But I also admit there's probably aspects of this I'm missing and don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just worried that there's a bloke out there who like really knows his stuff, and that we're just a couple of jokers offering beer and pretzel. And he's like, "You fools, communion is a really sacred thing."
Well, no, I think it is. Like, I think the Roman Catholic is at the top of the spectrum here in terms of the efficacy of taking communion and how important it is for receiving grace.
It's a sacrament, right?
It's one of the seven sacraments.
You receive grace when you do it.
That's right.
Right. Which, probably a whole separate podcast on that. That's personally why I have an issue with Catholicism.
Mm.
The notion that I need to do something to receive grace.
Yeah.
Seems to undermine grace, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, I don't know if it seems like too irreverent to use certain elements, but yeah, it just seems like, why can't the same spirit of what was going on at the Last Supper happen with a variety of things? Mountain Dew and pizza. Just whatever your crew is eating. Yeah. Like, you're having a meal. That's the important part of this.
Yeah.
And I just really worry that we're caricaturing Jesus and what he would really care about. What I know is
that
he really did not care about rules,
religious rituals.
Yeah, that did not have like a relational component.
Right.
So when you get bent out of shape, that it absolutely has to be bread and wine. Well, now wait a minute. Is that really what you actually think? That's exactly what Jesus cares about? It's just not the guy I'm starting to to know better.
Not his MO.
No, like, it's like, what's really cool is that we're all having dinner together.
Yeah.
And we can, I think what he is suggesting is like, take some intentional time during your meal together with brothers and sisters in Christ, or like your people you're fellowshipping with, and like, remember how significant God is in this process.
And in our midst, and that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that this is a slice of it, and it's happening now in front of us. Acknowledge it. I love that.
And so it just seems like, if I had to rewrite the story, like for an English class, and the teacher said, I want you to put in some sentences for the Pharisees. Imagine they barged in and had some comments.
Yeah. And that's good. That's a fun little thought experiment.
That would be exactly something that would get an A on that assignment.
Right. They would barge in and they would say, why are you using beer and pretzels?
Yeah.
Where's the wine and crackers? And Jesus would say, don't you know it's not what goes into a man's mouth that makes him unclean, but what comes out? And they'd hang their heads in shame and walk away.
Dang, dude. Like, that's legit, though. That sounds like
Lord. Say, there is something, I totally hear the point you're making, and I agree, that does seem like Jesus' MO, but emotionally, there's something in me that still would feel naughty.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think? For using beer and pretzels, there's something in me that would feel like, breaking a rule here.
Well, you are. You're breaking a cultural norm, for sure.
Yeah,
you'd be pretty edgy, but I think it's cool, man.
Well,
I think it needs. I mean, need is strong. Churches can still practice regular communion. That's fine, and it makes sense too. Like, it's just cost effective.
Yeah, beer for a mega church that starts to get pricey, and there's licenses you need then.
Right.
Yeah.
So we can celebrate this together simply with little pieces of bread, a cracker, and a little cup of juice. But
one more point on this.
Sure.
To that, surely the specific elements can't be that important. You and I are lost on a desert island somewhere, and we want to celebrate communion.
We
can't get wine or bread, but we've got rainwater and coconut water.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, can we celebrate with that? I want to say, Jesus is still pleased.
Right. Know? Exactly, man. Yeah. I mean, that's great too. I like it.
All right. Well, just some musings on communion.
But please, if there's something we're missing to where this should be, have a little more like ritualistic rules to it that are important, I'd love to hear that argument and some of those facts. So
I'd love to know who discovered transubstantiation and then how. And how I can be convinced of it.
Mm.
So if you have been, change my mind on it.
Well, yeah. And on that, what's interesting is I could just how that occurred, like the power of the priest to make that happen.
I know, man.
It's quite something.
That's crazy.
Like, it's just a guy, it was a baby at one point, and he grew up to be a priest and then has this power to
transmute.
Yeah. It's through the Holy Spirit, of course.
Right.
But it's still, I can't do it, right?
I don't know. Have you tried?
I wouldn't know.
You've
if
never
it
tried.
It's one of those explanations, though, that are, it's like epistemologically impossible to verify.
Yeah, or refute.
Because the accidental properties maintained throughout.
Yeah.
So all testing variables.
Yeah. It's going to show up as juice and bread no matter what.
All right, cool. Well, as always, if you have any questions or comments or criticisms, please
send them our way.
OpenToTruthPodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on the socials And we'll see you next time.
All right, we'll see you. Have a good one.